Well, again, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you this morning. Since last week was July 4th, I came across this interesting public service announcement that I thought it was just simply too important to not share. In fact, I'm not really sure why veterinarians don't share this more often. But if your dog is running a fever, go to the store and buy some mustard, because it's the best thing for a hot dog. See, I thought you guys would relish that a little bit more than you did. And if you didn't get it yet, don't wait. You just need to catch up. That's all. That's all you need to do. Yeah, need a drum set here. So anyways, last week we began this series called The World is Watching. And so for the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about how we are called to be witnesses in front of a watching world. And last week, we focused upon the both sides of being a witness, that Scripture calls us to have both right belief and right behavior, that both of those, right belief, right behavior, are equally as important. And that if we only have one and not the other, then we're not going to be effective as a witness. We're not going to be as effective as a witness. And so today we're going to continue along that idea, talking about those two sides of being a witness and how they're held together. How do we hold right belief together with right behavior? You know, as a pastor, I've been invited into some really special moments in people's lives. I get to be present at baptisms and weddings. I've been in the room where somebody learns for the very first time that they have cancer. I've been in the room where a loved one takes their last earthly breath, and I've been there as families say goodbye to loved ones at a funeral service. You know, one of the events that doesn't happen quite as often, but it is really powerful, is when a family member is going in for some surgery, or there's an issue happening, and they'll call the family together, and they'll say, you know what, I'm glad you all are here. I have hope. But if anything should happen in this surgery, I don't want you to worry, right? I know where I'm going. I have my relationship with Jesus set, and so you don't need to worry, because everything is going to be fine either way, how this works out. And then they usually share about how proud they are of their children and their grandchildren, and it's a powerful moment, and it doesn't happen as often as you might think, but it's indelibly imprinted on my mind. And that's the feeling, right, that family member gathering the family in together and sharing some really important stuff. That's the feeling with which we should be reading our morning scripture today from John 13, 31 to 35. And so let's read that. And so when he was gone, when Judas was gone, Jesus said, "The Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will only be with you a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this is a moment where Jesus is sharing something really special with his disciples. And it almost seems a little conspiratorial, right? Because Judas has just left. And so now it's like, okay, Judas is gone. And so come here a little closer, because there's something really important I have to share with you. I've got to tell you something very important. I almost have this picture in my mind, and as Jesus and disciples were gathered there, and that's exactly what he did. Jesus would have got up and maybe went to a corner of the room and told his disciples, you know, come here, come a little closer, come a little closer. He gathers his disciples up, and it's much like that scene I just talked about in the hospital, right? Because the end is coming, and so he wants to share something incredibly important. In fact, you know, when he says, my children, I will be with you only a little while longer. That the Greek word being used there, technion, I mean, literally means little children. And this term of endearment that Jesus is using in the Gospels is the only time it's ever used. Because this is a special moment. And so he uses a special name for his disciples so that they could remember this. And he's going to share with them the glue that holds right belief together with right behavior. And he says this, a new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Right, hopefully you guys caught what he was saying. I think he's being pretty deliberate, right? Jesus calls us to like each other. No, that wasn't it. Jesus calls us to respect one another. Nope. Jesus calls us to be professionals with one another. And Jesus calls us to love one another. And in case you miss it the first time he says it again and again and again. He repeats that word love four times in two sentences. And in the giving of this command, Jesus did something that the world had never seen before this moment. He is creating a group of people identified by one thing, love. You know, there are many ways, you know, groups in our world today and all throughout history have come together. Right, we come together by our uniforms, we come together by shared interest, we come together because of our alma mater. You know, one group may have tattoos and piercings, another group may be abstaining from meat. Growing up in Erie, and I was in the band, and so, you know, every time we had a parade, we always had the Shriners. The Shriners had them funny hats, the fezes, right? I just remember them every year in those parades. They identified themselves with their funny hats. But the church is unique. Because for the first and only time in history, Jesus is creating a group whose identifying factor is love. Skin color doesn't matter. Native language doesn't matter. There are no rules about uniforms or diets or funny hats. Followers of Christ are identified by their love for one another. Now, something you may have heard over the years that, you know, the Bible has a lot of different words in Greek that all mean love. Eros, phileo, agape. Those are the ones that we probably hear most often. And agape is especially important because it's the word that is used to describe God's love for us. But in our passage today, there's another form of love that we don't often hear about, agapeo. And why is this word important to us? Because agape is the noun form of love, where agapeo is the verb form of love. Agape is our belief, right? What we know. And agapeo is our behavior, how we live out what we know, how we live out our belief. And as witnesses to the world, we must recognize that we have a message to share that will be conformed by the way that we treat other believers, how we treat each other. the world around us, who is definitely watching the church, who has lots of opinions about the church, will have little regard for our message, will have little regard for what we have to say unless they see it lived out in action by us. The command is new in that it is a special love for one another based upon the sacrificial love of Jesus. Just as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And so practically, we could read John 13, 34 through 35 like this. A new command I give you, love, behavior, one another. As I have loved behavior, agapeo, loved you, so you must, by your behavior, love one another. And by this, everybody will know that you are my disciples if you, agape, if you have that belief that is translated into action, if you love one another. And this is why I think this is important. Because a Christianity, a belief that gets you into heaven while allowing you to continue living behavior however you want here on earth is a Christianity that is foreign to the New Testament. Because the gospel changes who you are, and it also changes what you do. And so Jesus' call to love one another is an adaptation of the greatest commands and a new command with an edge to it. Because loving one another is not just a goal to be achieved, it is a command that is expected. We cannot love God while loving ourselves more than we love others. We cannot love God while loving ourselves more than others. And so I just want to end with three practical ways that we can love one another as Jesus has loved us. And it's certainly not an exhaustive list, but it's a way that the world may help see more clearly how we love. And so the first thought is this, is that we need to live in God's grace. And when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he gave two. He said, love God, love others. And there's a reason why Jesus lists God first, because you cannot give away what you don't already have. And if you want to love those who are around you, then we need to first understand the love that God gives to us. Because our love for God is shown by how we love those who are around us. And if we want to truly live out John 13, 34 through 35, then we need to live in God's grace. We need to understand what God has done for us so that then we can do the same for others. Right? We are a forgiven people, and therefore we forgive. We are shown mercy. And so we are a merciful people. We receive the peace of God, and so we become peacemakers. And that list just continues to go on and on and on. Second one is this, put down your rights. You know, one of the top things I think the church is known for in our century is fighting for our rights. It's almost become the battle cry of the church. But you know, we did not follow a God who fought for his rights. We follow a Savior who laid down his life. And I'm not saying that there isn't a place for us to stand up for what we believe in or what we believe is right, but our chief concern is not preserving our rights. Because when Jesus said, they will know us by our love, and love us, love one another as I have loved you, he meant it. This is how we are to be known. And yes, it's true, we could lose some rights in our country if we shift our focus. But I think we would see a revitalization of people coming to know Jesus if Christians would stop fighting for their rights and started loving their neighbor. And that brings us to number three, serve those who are around us. You know, maybe the primary way, the primary way to live out the meaning of John 13, 34 through 35 is to serve. Right? If we want our love to be visible, then we have to serve people. We have to place others above ourselves. If Christians stay centered upon themselves and their own needs, then we leave Jesus behind. And people will miss out on the incredible life of God because our lives will fail to have a meaningful impact. Because the heart of the gospel centers around service. Now, if you want to live out this verse this week, look for how you can serve other people. It doesn't have to be huge. It can be something small. I mean, small gestures can make huge impacts. And in a world that is increasingly self-centered, selfless people stand out. And remember, church, the world is watching. And so what we believe and how we live really does matter. Because we may be the only Bible somebody reads. We may be the only Bible that somebody will see being lived out. And so let's represent our Savior well. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for your love for us, and we are grateful for the call you have placed upon our lives. And so, Lord, as we seek to keep right belief joined well with right behavior, Lord, remind us that it is love that holds those two together. That those things can be lost if we lose love. And so we ask, O Lord, that you would tenderize our hearts. Forgive us of our cynicism, our anger, our hurt, our prejudice. Lord, forgive us of those things. And instead, give us a heart of love that seeks, Lord, that seeks to love you first and to love the world as well. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for loving us back. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. It is very easy for us just to simply walk through this life and to keep our focus upon ourselves, to forget the people who surround us. You know, my life is going pretty well, so I'm good. But then there are people who maybe are surrounding me whose lives aren't as good. You know, Lord, protect us, free us from our selfishness, our self-centeredness. And open our eyes, Lord, make our eyes more like yours. That when we leave this space, that we would look at people the same way that God does. We would see people that his son died for. We would see people who maybe haven't yet heard. And one of the clearest demonstrations of the love of God is for us to love them. To walk alongside of them, those small gestures of service. Yeah, Lord, here we are. Please use us. Use us as you will. Let us pray. Gracious God, again, we pray that you would wake us up from our spiritual slumber and help us to see more clearly. Help us to see this world, Lord, as you see it, and help us to see others as you see them. There's not a person we will encounter today or tomorrow or this week that you did not die for. And because we have been so freely forgiven and so freely loved, Lord, help us to share that same love with the world. Help us to be your hands and your feet. Help us to deny ourselves, take up your cross, and to follow after you. Jesus, we pray all this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a wonderful week.